This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In the name of the Most
I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. Brothers and sisters, and all the brothers and sisters online, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all and accept your efforts. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to be from amongst those who learn from everything that we hear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. Alhamdulillah, it's only been less than 2 weeks from the month of Ramadan and the end of the month of Ramadan. And it was only just not this Sunday, but the Sunday before that we celebrated the day of Eid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your worship in the month of Ramadan and grant you all steadfastness. And may Allah azza wa jal make us to be from amongst those who continue to get closer to Allah after the month of Ramadan until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of Ramadan, the Quran al-Kareem that was revealed to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that teaches us how to be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal accept from us all. Brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, as we finish from the month of Ramadan, and before the month of Ramadan, we finished the stories of the prophets and messengers. We started with Adam alayhi salam all the way to the second last prophet and messenger before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that was Isa alayhi salam. And we covered all the prophets and messengers that we know of and have been mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem and have been mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then we spoke about stories from the Quran al-Kareem, and those stories reflect upon some of those events that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made mention in the Quran al-Kareem. Some of them are good people, some of them are bad people. And given that, alhamdulillah, we just finished from the month of Ramadan and we finished from the stories of the prophets and the messengers and the stories from the Quran al-Kareem, I thought it's best for us to start with the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the last 20 years, I've covered the seerah, the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam twice. And twice I've covered them at Lakemba Mosque. And this is the first time that we will address and talk about the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam here at Tayyu Maysana. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to be from amongst those who fulfill the rights of delivering this lesson. And as much as we talk about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will never ever give rights to the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, this man, the greatest man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen, and the greatest man to ever tread this earth, the greatest man to ever walk on the face of this planet, and he is the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had praised in the Quran al-Kareem, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Indeed, O Muhammad, you are above the greatest of manners. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Indeed, O Muhammad, we send you a mercy to the entire mankind. I know that we connect ourselves by default and naturally as human beings, we love stories. And the stories do resonate in our lives. In particular, when it's someone that you really love, not a cartoon character or a fantasy story, but we're talking about a reality here. A reality, and if it's not reality, it's the reality of all realities. And that's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, and the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem, and the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran al-Kareem to, and the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had praised. So obviously he, after we've spoken about the greatest people after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they are the prophets and messengers, now we're going to be talking about the greatest man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the purpose of this is, number one, for us to educate ourselves on the seerah and the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And out of this education, not only that we will understand the lifestyle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam better, but also that will connect us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through understanding the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to us as our guidance. Through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. Through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we understand the Quran al-Kareem. Through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran al-Kareem came to us. Through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will understand and know a lot of things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. So, number one, and number one objective why we want to learn the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is for us to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. At the end of the day, we all know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a human being like you and I. He's a human being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can't benefit. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can't harm on his own. It's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a messenger to guide us, to share us. Through his messengers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disseminated and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveyed his orders, commands and messages. And through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And obviously, there are a number of unique things about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that prophets and messengers in the past never had. One of them, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final and last prophet and messenger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. Which means that there's no prophet and messenger after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's the last and final prophet and messenger. The other one is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to the entire mankind. Whilst every other prophet and messenger before him was sent to a specific nation or a specific people. The only one that was sent to everyone is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And everyone here also includes the jinn. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to all mankind and to all the jinn to the day of judgment. No prophet and messenger will ever come after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other unique aspect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with, that Allah azza wa jalla revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the greatest book. How many books did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal to the prophets and messengers? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed 104 sacred books to the prophets and messengers. The greatest book and sacred book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed to anyone is the Quran Kareem. And it was revealed to the greatest one, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which makes you by default the greatest nation. Kuntum khayra ummatin. أخرجت للناس. You are the best nation to ever emerge and come out to people. So the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest nation because they follow the greatest prophet and messenger and because they read the greatest book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ever revealed to any human being. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as part of his uniqueness alayhi salatu wa sallam, even though the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his nation are the last people to emerge, but they'll be the first ones to enter the Jannah. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given this nation superiority. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes mention of that. Inshallah, I'll be talking about the advantages, the privileges that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we'll talk about it as we go through this seerah. So the number one thing that we want to achieve out of the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is education. Understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. Number two, understand the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the biography of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, in which we refer to in Arabic, seerah, seerah. And I'm sure you've heard of that word, seerah. Seerah means biography. Whether you're talking about a biography of a good person or a bad person. Seerah of someone who is good, seerah of someone who is bad. When you talk about a life story of anyone, the term that we use is seerah. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has the best seerah. However, what makes the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, number one, it's spiritual. It's spiritual. It's not like you're just talking about a story of someone. They're just listening, what a fantasy. It's a nice story. Alhamdulillah, nice. I enjoyed it, wasted 2 hours and listening about this person. No. This is a spiritual story. It's a spiritual biography that connects you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and uplifts your iman. It's going to strengthen your iman. And through understanding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I mentioned before, you'll understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better. And you connect yourself to Allah azza wa jal. Because what's our shahada? Our shahada is, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So seerah means biography. And when we say the word seerah, we refer to the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's another unique thing about the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No human being in the past, in the present, and obviously in the future, we will ever get the details of their life as much as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't think so. Even with all the advancement and all the technology, and even if you record yourself from the moment your mother gives birth to you until the moment they bury you, I don't think at this current moment there's no one that we have a detailed, profound, comprehensive information about someone as much as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And no prophet and messenger and no leader in the past, including those leaders that we don't even agree with, had ever been compiled of their seerah, of their biography, the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is part of the preservation of our deen, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that He'll preserve the Quran Kareem. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. We are the ones that had revealed the Quran Kareem, and we shall preserve the Quran Kareem. And part of this preservation is preserving the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I know now, maybe it's easier for you to compile a biography of someone. You could record someone's life from A to Z. But when you talk about 1,400 years ago, that we've got full, detailed, comprehensive, profound life story and biography of someone, this is one of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us and upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very, very comprehensive. And it's been compiled in volumes, not in one book. In books, in volumes. And we've covered the stories of the prophets and messengers in about 40 episodes. The seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will need about 400 episodes. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his own. Because alhamdulillah we have profound and comprehensive information about the life story of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the biography of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. And obviously another objective is for us to entertain ourselves. But it's not the primary objective. We want to entertain ourselves, a spiritual entertainment, to listen to the story of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a superhero. Alayhi salatu wasallam is our prophet and messenger. Alayhi salatu wasallam is our teacher. Alayhi salatu wasallam is our guide. Alayhi salatu wasallam is our master. Alayhi salatu wasallam, he's a leader as a prophet and a messenger. And he was a leader in education, and he was a leader in administration, and he was a leader in socialization, and he was a leader on the battlefield, and he was a leader at home, and he was a leader outside his home, and he was a leader everywhere. That makes the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the most unique character to ever tread this earth, and he is sallallahu alaihi wasallam the most unique character to ever tread this earth. So we want to entertain ourselves, spiritual entertainment, that we get rewards just by listening to the seerah and the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now obviously, the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's based on narrations. The seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is based on narrations. And we know that over time, our history and the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had unauthentic, fabricated narrations that had penetrated the Islamic world. But alhamdulillah, it's been filtered. It's been filtered, alhamdulillah. So the point I'm making here right now, we will not mention anything that's unauthentic. We're only going to mention what's authentic. We will only mention here. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be covering everything. Maybe later on you might turn around and say, but Sheikh, you forgot to mention that. Oh, is it because it's unauthentic? No, it's authentic, but it didn't cross my mind. I didn't see the need of it. Maybe I forgot. It slipped my mind, whatever it is. But rest assured, inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, my commitment to this seerah is that we will only mention something that's authentic, something that's been verified and authentic. Anything that's not been verified and authentic, we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to mention it. And you know what? It's haram for us to mention it. And if I do mention it, I'll make sure that I'll make you aware that it's unauthentic, so you don't mention it and repeat it, because sometimes we've been growing up on some narrations which are not true. We've been growing up on narrations which are not true. Like, you know, if you want to start with the story of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where you probably heard when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mother gave birth to him, there was a light that struck the east and the west, and Nina crushed this and that, وما بعرف شو, and Allahu Akbar takbir. These are not authentic and verified stories. We're only going to mention what's authentic and verified. What we know of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what the scholars had verified. Of course, I'm not in a position for me to verify them. We just go by what the renowned and prominent scholars had verified and said that this is authentic and this is unauthentic. And inshallah, just by us listening to the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a form of ibadah. So every single Thursday, inshallah, we'll go for about half an hour, maybe 35 minutes max, and we'll always be online live for the brothers and sisters who are not attending the UMA, as we are slowly opening the UMA. And for people around the world, you know, not everyone's in Sydney, But alhamdulillah, these days we live in a global village where people can access anyone, anywhere, at any time. So we'll be live, inshallah, for other brothers and sisters every single Thursday, 7:45 p.m. Maybe we could be 5 minutes late, 7:50 p.m. Sydney time. Live here, inshallah, that we'll be talking about and continuing to cover the seerah and the story of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a moment of ibadah. It's a moment that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we are learning about the greatest human being and the greatest servant and the greatest righteous man and the greatest prophet and messenger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ever sent, and that's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now obviously I could talk about the uniqueness of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I can continue talking about the great qualities and attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I can continue talking about many great things about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously I'm not going to cover it in this episode, but as we go, inshallah, we'll continue to cover that. So, inshallah, tonight will be a beginning of the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and inshallah we'll continue covering this. I could see that this will go for at least 50 episodes, so 50 weeks. So we're not going to finish it before a year, maybe by the end of 2021. And inshallah, I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept, and I ask Allah azza wa jalla that He does accept our efforts here, and inshallah you'll enjoy it, but before you enjoy it, that you benefit from it. Before we get into the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we need to have a background knowledge of the history before the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we all know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in Mecca, and he was born to an Arab family. That Arab family is from the tribe of Quraysh. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is from the people of Quraysh. So he comes from an Arab descent in Mecca, where the Kaaba was established. And obviously the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be born in Mecca where the Kaaba is, and to come from an Arab background, there are reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be born there from this descent at that place. And it's obviously at that time. But before we get into the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we need to understand the situation. We need to understand the situation of the Arabs before the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an Arab, born in Mecca from Quraysh. So what's an Arab? The Arabs originate from Yemen. Arabs originate from where? Yemen. So all the Arabs originate from Yemen. And Yemen is in the southeast of the Arabian Peninsula. So you've got something called the Arabian Peninsula, in which what they used to call back then Shibh al-Jazeera al-Arabiya, which is the Arabian Peninsula. And that's one of the things that protected the Arabs, is because they were surrounded from three ends by the sea and the ocean that prevented the enemies from taking over. If you look into history, the only place that wasn't really dominated by an outside force like the Romans and the Persians, who dominated the world at that time, was the Arabian Peninsula, because they were protected by the natural features and the sea and the ocean. Yemen, that's where all the Arabs originate from. And Yemen, and we all know what's happening in Yemen, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy upon our brothers and sisters. Yemen was like a very rich civilization before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they had power, they had respect. They weren't that big like the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. But Yemen on its own was a very rich and very well-established civilization. And we're talking about centuries. We're talking about centuries where Yemen and the Arabs existed there. Now, obviously, we mentioned this before when we were talking about the progenies of the prophets and the messengers. All people descend from Adam alayhi salam. But then it restarted all over again from Nuh alayhi salam. After the flood, Nuh alayhi salam had three sons. From those three sons, mankind emerged. And the Arabs come from one of the sons of Nuh alayhi salam. His name is Sam. Sam. So Nuh alayhi salam, all the entire mankind, all human beings, descend back to Nuh alayhi salam. So we're all the children of Nuh, and Nuh and the people during the time of Nuh go back to Adam alayhi salam. That's why there's another saying, a nickname to Nuh alayhi salam, they call him the second Adam. So all mankind, all people, originate back to Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam had four children. One of them disbelieved in Nuh, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed him. And he was one of those people that drowned in the flood, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Quran Kareem. And the other three followed him. One of them, his name is Sam. From Sam, the Arabs and the Jews come from. That's why they call them the Semitics. We're also Semitics. Arabs are Semitics. Arabs are considered to be Semitics. So from Sam, he had children, offsprings, and then Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam goes back to Nuh alayhi salam through Sam. And the Arabs come from Sam. So the Arabs settled in Yemen. So, you know, we're talking about a long history. We're talking about a long history. And they say between Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there's about 3,000 years. Not 100% verified, but that's the duration, 3,000 years. It's not a short duration, 3,000 years. So Ibrahim alayhi salam is the great prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is considered to be the second greatest prophet and messenger after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know his story, we covered his story. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he originates from northern Iraq, and then he went to Palestine, then to Egypt, then came back to Palestine. When he went to Egypt, he had one wife. He came back from Egypt to Palestine, had two wives. His second wife, her name was Hajar. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to take Hajar from Palestine to Mecca. Now I'm fast forwarding the story, and I've already covered that. So if you want to go into the details of that, you could go on our YouTube channel and check out the full story of Ibrahim. But we're talking about the history of the Arabs. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take Hajar to Mecca. It was called Mecca. And Mecca has a number of names. Mecca, Mecca, Ummul Qura, and Baytullah al-Haram. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to take his wife Hajar and newly born son Ismail to Mecca. And he left Hajar and his newly born baby Ismail alayhi salam in the middle of nowhere. So there was no existence of any mankind. No one lived there. And it was just a valley surrounded by black mountains. And that's why it was known as Wadi Mecca, the Valley of Mecca. And we know the story that Ibrahim alayhi salam left Hajar and his son that was only a few days old, Ismail alayhi salam, with a bit of dates and water, and he walked away. Hajar called him a few times, Ibrahim, you just leave us here in the middle of nowhere. And Ibrahim didn't turn around because he was concerned that he'll feel emotionally hurt and then he'll turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. Until she told him, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command you to leave us here? So that's when Ibrahim turned around and said yes. So Hajar alayhi salam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let us down. Allah will never forget us. You go, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take care of us. And we all know the story that Hajar and his son, newly born son Ismail alayhi salam, settled in Mecca after she had eaten the dates and she fed his son. She ran out of water and food. So his son was just crying and she needed to find some sort of provision food for her and her son to sustain themselves, especially her baby son that's going to die. There's no more milk in the breast. So she started to run in between the two mountains. What happened then? You all know the story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Jibreel alayhi salam to come down and strike the ground where the well of Zamzam gushed out. She came down and she said, Zummi, Zummi, get together, get together. So it became a well called Zamzam. Zamzam is not an Arabic word. It means get together in the language of Hajar alayhi salam. So later on became Zamzam. What happens when you have water in a particular land? Civilization alive starts to emerge. So now you've got Hajar alayhi salam and his son Ismail living in the middle of nowhere. With that well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept today, up until now. This well till this day continues to feed millions of people, which is another miraculous thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the people of Mecca before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims to the Day of Judgment. Okay, now a story begins. Like I fast forwarded the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Hajar and Ismail, and you could listen to that inshallah online, more details on the story of Ibrahim, Ismail and Hajar. But now this is where the story concerns us as it connects to the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Going back to what we mentioned, where do the Arabs come from? They come from Yemen, and they've been living there for centuries. The Yemenis at that time, if you want to call them Yemenis, but the Arabs at that time in Yemen start to fight against each other. So their civilization started to break down. At the same time, they had a massive dam. Sadd al-Arim, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of that. They had a big, massive dam. It was the biggest dam to ever exist. Some people say the biggest dam to ever exist in history. But it was the biggest during their time. That dam was crushed. And that dam exploded. So what happened to the people living around that dam? They were flooded. And it would have taken them, like obviously with the primitive technology they had back then, it would have probably taken them years before they got back to civilization. But you could say one way or another, that dam did destroy the cities in Yemen. So the Arabs there were forced to go and find a new home to settle in. So they scattered from Yemen. And that's where did they go? They can't go to the east because it's ocean. So they start going towards west. Towards Mecca, Medina, Syria. That's where the Arabs start to spread out in the Arabian Peninsula. So the Arabs originate from Yemen. But during that time, which is during the time that Ibrahim alayhi salam traveled with Hajar and Ismail and left them in Mecca. That's when the big dam of Arim exploded and crushed and destroyed the towns and the cities around it. So the people that were living in Yemen, they were forced to go and find a new home. So they went to the Arabian Peninsula. And many of those Arab tribes start to travel, finding a new home. Some of them went up all the way to Oman. What you know these days as Emirates, Qatar, Bahrain, all the way to Sham. What's Sham? Sham is Palestine, Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon. And maybe some parts of Iraq. Back then, Jordan, Palestine, Lebanon, Syria didn't exist. It was just, the whole region was called Sham. So a lot of the Arabs migrated from Yemen all the way to Sham. And a lot of them went to the middle of the center of the Arabian Peninsula. And that's where Mecca is. When Hajar alayhi salam and his son Ismail alayhi salam, they were living in Mecca. And now they've got civilization, they've got life. Given that they've got water over there. Once you have water, that's it. That's the beginning. That's the foundation of life. There was a tribe that left from Yemen during the explosion of the dam by the name of Jurhum. It's an Arab tribe that traveled from Yemen and they were looking for a new place to settle. While they were traveling in the middle of the Arabian Peninsula, in the middle of the desert, they start to see birds flying around an area. And that's a sign of what? They are trying to, like you know when you see birds flying around, it means that there's something there. Birds are not going to be flying around just you know out of nowhere. There's something there. And usually the Arabs will pick up on that, or people who live at the time, they'll pick up on those things. That when they see birds flying around and going in circles, that means it's water. So while they were traveling in the middle of the desert, they saw birds flying around. And as I mentioned to you, Mecca is surrounded by mountains. So it's not like you could see from far. You need to go to the valley. It's a valley. It's a deep valley that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it as a deep area. And that's why subhanAllah, when you go to Mecca, sometimes you start feeling the air pressure. Because it's a deep valley surrounded by mountains. So the Arab tribe from Jurhum, who migrated from Yemen, looking for a new home, while they were traveling in the middle of the desert, they saw those birds flying in the air. So they decided to go and check it out. When they arrived there, what did they see? They saw one woman, baby, and water. Empty land. But obviously, the essential is there. That's water. You start with water, everything will come. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we created everything from water. If you have water, you could start. That's the main essential thing that you could start off with everything. And Arabs have good characteristics. Especially Arabs at that time. They could have just done a stand over on Hazar alayhi salam, told Allah ma'ak, you know, get out of here, we'll take over. But they were respectful people. They were an entire gang. They were an entire tribe. Allah alam, maybe they could have been in the hundreds, if not in the thousands. But there were an entire tribe who traveled out of Yemen looking for a new place to settle in. So they've made an agreement, a barter, between them and Hazar. And they said, you give us water, we give you food. You give us water, we give you food. So Hazar alayhi salam welcomed the idea. And that's where they settled. Where did they settle? In Mecca. So now, the first tribe to settle in Mecca was the tribe, the Arab tribe called Jurhum. Not all the Arabs are from Jurhum. A number of them traveled, different tribes traveled different areas, different regions, all the way to Sham. But the Arab tribe, Jurhum, that came from Yemen, they settled in Mecca. So in Mecca right now you have Hazar and Ismail, both of them are non-Arabs, living with an entire Arab tribe called Jurhum in Mecca. Where's Ismail growing up in? He's growing up amongst the Arabs. Ismail alayhi salam is growing up amongst the Arabs. So what language is going to pick up? He's going to pick up the Arabic language. But is Ismail originally an Arab? No, he's not. Is Hazar originally an Arab? No, she's not. Is Ibrahim an Arab? No, he's not. But Ismail grew up amongst Arabs. And because he grew up amongst Arabs, he picked up on the Arabic language and he became so eloquent in Arabic language, better than the Arabs themselves. And he even got married from them. And his kids also grew up speaking Arabic. And he became their leader as a prophet and messenger by default. Okay, so Ismail is a non-Arab, but what happened to him? He became Arabized. They call it Arabized. He's non-Arab, but became an Arab. So his origin is non-Arab, but he became an Arab. It's like, you know, us, our parents came from overseas as, you know, non-Australians, but now they became Australians, like it's a process. Ismail alayhi salam is a non-Arab, but he became an Arab, given that he was living amongst the Arabs, and he spoke in the Arabic language, and learned the Arabic language, and he learned the Arabic culture, so he became one of them. And he became their leader, and he got married from one of them. He got married like from the Arabs. So Ismail alayhi salam is a non-Arab that became an Arabized. And that's why all the Arabs that you see these days are non-originally Arabs. They're all Arabized, including the people of Quraysh. During the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them are non-original Arabs. They're all Arabized. They call them al-Arab al-Musta'ariba. So Jurhum settled in Mecca. Hazar and Ismail were in Mecca. Ismail alayhi salam grew up amongst the tribe of Jurhum. He learned their language, he learned their culture, he learned their traditions, he learned a lot of things from them, and he taught them Islam as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him his commands. What religion do all the prophets and messengers come with? They come with Islam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to go and establish the Kaaba and build the Kaaba with his son Ismail. And that's where Ismail and Ibrahim alayhi salam built the Kaaba right in the middle of Mecca. So Jurhum settled in Mecca with Ismail and Hazar. And Ismail was the leader of Mecca. And the primary tribe that was there was Jurhum. And that's where the civilization started to grow in Mecca. Ismail alayhi salam, some narrations say he had 12 children. He had 12 sons. And from his sons, each son had 10, 12, whatever number it is. And they started to grow. And that's where the civilization of Quraysh started. Until another tribe emerged. So Jurhum was the dominating tribe in Mecca. Jurhum was the dominating tribe in Mecca. Then later on, another tribe by the name of Khuza'a came along. And then division amongst Jurhum started to occur. So Khuza'a took advantage of that and took over Mecca. Khuza'a is another Arab tribe. They took advantage of the division. We're talking about generations after Ismail alayhi salam. So Jurhum was the dominating power, dominating tribe in Mecca. And then Khuza'a came and they invaded Mecca when they saw this division amongst Jurhum, and they took over Mecca. And most of the people of Jurhum fled Mecca. But before they fled, what did they do? They wanted to punish Khuza'a. So what did they do? They covered the well of Zamzam. And the well of Zamzam was covered for years, some say even centuries, before the Arabs and the people of Quraysh found out about it. And that was the grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They will talk about his story later on. So now you could see the lineage. Going back to what we mentioned before, that Ismail alayhi salam was the leader of the people of Jurhum, the people of Mecca. Later on became Quraysh. So Ismail alayhi salam is the head of the people of Mecca. What's his religion? Islam. What is he teaching? Islam. So was he on the haqq? Yes, of course. Was he on the right path? Yes. Were his people on the right path? Of course. So they were following what religion? Islam. And Islam continued to be practiced within the progeny and the offspring of Ismail alayhi salam and the people of Jurhum until one leader came from the people of Jurhum. His name is Amr ibn Luhay. Generations. So for generations and centuries, Islam was the practicing religion in accordance to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of Ismail. Muslims, including performing Hajj and visiting and doing tawaf around the Kaaba and going to Muzdalifah, Mina and Arafah and all those practices. Until one of the leaders of Jurhum or the leaders of Mecca emerged centuries after Ismail. His name is Amr ibn Luhay. Amr ibn Luhay was a very strong leader, very generous leader, very smart leader, very strong leader. He was loved by his people. If he says, he'll be obeyed. If he commands, people will just adhere. He traveled from Mecca to Syria. When he arrived to Syria, he saw people worshipping idols. So he asked and he said, what do these idols do for you? They said, when we're hungry, we ask them, they feed us. When there's a drought, we'll ask them, they'll send down the rain. When there is a hardship, we'll ask them and they'll ease it off. So he said, would you give me one for me to take back to my people? So they said yes. So he took an idol by the name of Hubal. And he returned it to Mecca. And that was the first idol to ever enter Mecca. And then he ordered his people and encouraged his people to start worshipping this Hubal. This is an idol, you worship it, it'll connect you to Allah. Now the Arabs, even up until the Prophet Muhammad's time, they've always believed in one God. Even the Arabs or the Quraysh, Abu Jahl, they've always believed in one God. The issue was what? Worshipping more than one God. So they used to believe in the ultimate power, which is God, Allah, but they used to worship idols. That they used to believe that these idols would connect them to Allah. And that's where it started from Amr ibn Luhay. He said, these are idols that will connect us to Allah. So he returned back with the idol, and then he started to encourage his people to worship the idol. So they started to worship the idol. And then he started to encourage every tribe to establish that an idol. So they did. And then he started to encourage all the tribes that used to come to Mecca to perform Hajj to take back from Mecca rocks and establish that an idols. So that's where the idol worshipping started to spread in the Arabian Peninsula. Where did we get the name Amr ibn Luhay? In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Amr ibn Luhay is in the hellfire, being dragged by his intestines and burnt and tortured because he was the first man to ever bring idol worshipping into Arabian Peninsula. So who's the one that told us about Amr ibn Luhay? Not historians, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. And between Amr ibn Luhay and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, centuries. We're not talking about years or decades. We're talking about centuries between Amr ibn Luhay and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're also talking about centuries between Amr ibn Luhay and Ismail alayhi salam. So Amr ibn Luhay was the first to bring idols into Mecca. And he was the first to bring idols into Arabian Peninsula. So we're talking about centuries from the time of Ismail alayhi salam all the way to Amr ibn Luhay. Arabs were just worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the way of Allah azza wa jal and the teachings of Ismail and Ibrahim alayhim as-salam. But not only that, but Amr ibn Luhay started to add extra innovations. Hubal, more idols, more things, more practices, more traditions, more rituals in their sense and understanding. So he started to fabricate a lot of things. Until the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those things start to evolve in a negative way, of course. I know the word evolve has a positive connotation, but things start to develop in a very bad way. But they were developed where they had practices, beliefs, heads, departments that look after those evil practices. Where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he entered Mecca, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Mecca, there were 360 idols. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he conquered Mecca, 360 idols. When he entered the Kaaba, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took out a box. In that box, there were photos of Ibrahim, or pictures, of course, paint or portraits, of Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam, making an oath with rocks. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, these are not true images, and a'udhu billah, Ibrahim and Ismail never made oath with rocks. These are some of the practices they had. They had practices, for example, a tayara, where, okay, should we do this? Not, yes, not, no. Okay, let's grab a bird, throw it in the air. If it goes right, yes. If it goes left, no. They used to have the cups where they put yes, no, and they throw them. They had all those things, all those practices. It all started from Amr ibn Luhay. Not all of them, but it started from him. And, you know, as time goes by, things start to evolve and develop until it became an entire practice, an entire religion, if you want to call it. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during his time, the Arabs used to believe in Ismail and Ibrahim. These are our prophets and messengers. But they used to believe that the practices that existed at their time were the practices being taught by Ibrahim and Ismail. And that's not true. Some of them were, yes. Doing tawaf, going to Arafah, Muzdalifah, Mina, few things here and there. Yes, there were practices of Ibrahim and Ismail. But not the other evil and un-Islamic and evil practices. So Amr ibn Luhay was the first to ever bring worshipping idols in the Arabian Peninsula. And he brought it to Mecca. And as I mentioned, up until the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were over 360 idols surrounding the Kaaba. So the Arabs from the time of Amr ibn Luhay became pagans, idol worshippers, believing in one God, but worshipping numerous gods in which they believe that these are the gods that connect them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After Amr, obviously, Khuza'a came and took over Mecca. And Junhum were ousted. They were ousted and they were kicked out. But there were some people from Junhum, including the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As I mentioned, these are the tribes that continue to control and dominate Quraysh up until the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The point is, the descent of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam goes back to Adnan, and Adnan goes back to Ismail, which means what? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam is the grandson of who? Ismail. And he's the grandson of who? Ibrahim. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam is one of the offsprings of Ismail. So Quraysh, which is the main name of the tribe of the people of Mecca during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, they originate from Ismail and Ibrahim. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to take pride in that I'm one of the sons of Ismail and Ibrahim. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one of the children and one of the great children of Ismail and Ibrahim. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's progeny goes all the way to Ismail. What's verified is from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Adnan. From the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Adnan, which means the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad is the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib, the son of Hashim, the son of Amr, the son of Abd Manaf, the son of Qusay, the son of Kilab, the son of Murrah, the son of Ka'b, the son of Lu'ay, the son of Ghalib, the son of Fihr. Fihr, his other name is Quraysh. So that's where the name, the tribe of Quraysh emerged. So Fihr, all the way to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's about 10 children, and that's where the name of the tribe of Quraysh goes back to their 10th great-grandfather by the name of Fihr ibn Malik. Fihr ibn Malik, his other name is Quraysh. Malik is the son of Nadr, the son of Kinana, the son of Khuzaima, the son of Mudrika, the son of Ilyas, the son of Mudar, the son of Nizar, the son of Ma'd, and the son of Adnan. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam verified that. He said, all the way to Adnan is correct. What's after Adnan to Ismail, it's not correct. Like the names. Yes, there is connection from Adnan to Ismail. But the names being mentioned, nothing's verified. Nothing's been verified. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's offspring, or Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's descent, goes back all the way, and his lineage goes back all the way to Ismail alayhi salam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam confirmed his lineage from him to Ismail and confirmed the names from him to Adnan. But after Adnan, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said nothing is verified. So as you could see, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lineage is preserved. So much so that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and he describes himself to be, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal, had chosen Ismail alayhi salam. And from Ismail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen Adnan. And Adnan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen Kinana. And from Kinana, Allah had chosen Hashim. And from Hashim, Allah had chosen Abdul Muttalib. And from Abdul Muttalib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen me. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised his progeny, his lineage. He praised his descent. Subhanallah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes mention of that. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his time, the Arabs were Quraysh. They originate to Fihr ibn Malik. Fihr ibn Malik had a number of children, but Quraysh wasn't just one tribe. Quraysh was the main tribe. Under it, there were a number of tribes. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam belongs to a tribe of Abd Manaf, which is going back to his great-grandfather, because his name is Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim ibn Abd Manaf. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes back to the, and that's why they call him Al-Hashimi, because that's his great-grandfather. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes from the Abd Manaf tribe. The Abd Manaf tribe is one tribe of many different tribes that fall under one banner called Quraysh. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he emerged, he was born in Mecca. Mecca was run by the people of Quraysh. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes from a sub-branch of Quraysh, which is considered to be one of the most respectful branches of Quraysh, the branch of Hashim Abd Manaf. And that's where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in. So this is just a quick background. Now, as we've realized tonight, where the Arabs originate, how they settled in Mecca, and where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started, and that gives us now an idea, when we talk about the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the circumstance and the situation surrounding the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to have a better idea how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who listen and hear and act upon the listening. Inshallah, next week we'll talk more about that era, just before the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, paving the way to the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the greatest birth to ever emerge and exist on the face of this earth. Subhanakallah bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Every Muslim dreams to be up in Jannah. A pious person's destiny. Inshallah, in Jannah.